Heavenly Father, again, you have provided manna for us this morning in a land and in a time of famine. But Lord, our hearts search and reach for that manna to survive and live. And Lord, you brought us to this place where we can receive this, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the way you work through our circumstances, how you bring us to this place in this wilderness experience that we are at the moment experiencing. But one day, Father, we will experience the fruit of the land, the promised land that is there for the church to inherit and to partake. And until then, Lord, we walk and receive it by faith. And Father, I thank you for this word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to give a message that I believe the Lord's just laid on my heart. We're not looking into Peter today, but I found myself meditating upon motives. What are our motives towards the Lord? And I was also listening to that prophecy this morning. And for those of you taking notes, the title this morning is Motives and Faith Are Intricately Linked. Motives and faith are intricately linked. They can't be separated. As I believe the Lord has opened this up this morning. And in the Beatitudes, it's to be found in Matthew 5 and verse 8, which he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So a purity of heart will be a guarantee that you will meet face to face with God, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And that is based on purity. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Now, bearing this in mind, let's couple this with Psalm 15. Because there is a link here with what Jesus requires and what the psalmist speaks of in Psalm 15. Because in Psalm 15, it speaks about those who have a purity of heart will dwell in the presence of the Lord. And hear what it says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle?" That is God's dwelling place. He raises the question, who is going to dwell, who is going to abide in your presence? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And there are times that we can raise that question. We can even raise that with ourselves, with what we go through. And there are times when we just miss it so far. Lord, am I really going to dwell in your presence? You know, you hold on. "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." So he begins to open up those who would dwell in God's presence, in his holy hill. And he says, it's going to be those who walk uprightly and those who work righteousness. Well, we have been made righteous in God's sight. So if you have been declared righteous, it means that God has not only declared you to be righteous, but he says that I will work and provide that you will walk in this life as a righteous person. So that again has to be a working of the Holy Spirit, which means you walk uprightly and speaks the truth in his heart, her heart. In other words, you are not going to believe a lie. You are not going to pretend. You are going to be a man or woman, a woman of honesty, of uprightness. You are going to look at the motives. You are going to examine yourself. You're going to see whether you are in the faith or not. That is what it's about. We too often, at times, pretend, don't we? We pretend that everything is going fine. We can pretend that God is pleased with us. God, you know, is accepting what I'm doing, what I'm saying, or my behavior. And if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit, we would find that God sometimes isn't always accepting what we think he is. You know, a good question that we can raise this morning, has God accepted this meeting? Has he accepted our praise, our worship? Has he accepted us that we are supposed to be in unity and oneness? Because if he doesn't, we're going to be religious. We're simply going to go through a formality. We're going to assume that we are pleasing in God's sight. You know, I never, by the mercy of God, ever take that one for granted. I am very, very aware that we're still on a journey in this church. And God, as you know, is working with each one of us. But who may dwell in that holy hill, in his presence? And you know, this assembly is to dwell in God's presence. That is the point. We're to dwell in his presence, in unity and in oneness. And it comes about by the fact, as the psalmist says, that we walk uprightly. And we speak the truth in the heart. Are we speaking the truth in the heart? That is the question. Now, are we pleased with what God is doing in this assembly? Are we taking it for granted? Are our motives right? Are they clean in the presence of God? Or are we taking all of this and our fellowship for granted and assuming, yes, God's approval is upon us. Yes, God's approval is on me because I've made the effort to come to the meeting. Or are we seeing that this church is a lot more? Are you seeing your brother and your sister? Are you seeing that we are related? We are one in Christ. Have I come here this morning with the right motives to offer up worship and praise to the Lord? Have I come here this morning to minister, to make myself available? Have I come here because I am more concerned about my brother, my sister's needs? Or is it for what I myself can get out of it? I still have to, as pastor, be honest with you that that still goes on in this church. That there are still some of us are getting what we can get out of this church because of self-gain and what we think is promotion. And this is going to hinder your faith with God. Remember the title this morning, that motives are related, they're intricately related to faith. Our motives. Because he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue. So he then brings up the sin of the tongue. Nor does evil to his neighbor. And that he conclude us in this assembly, one towards each other. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, his brother, his sister. If he doesn't do these things, then he or she has a pure heart before God, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Now, quite a lot of things there that the psalmist brings up, because he's raised this question, hasn't he? Who can abide in your tabernacle? Who can dwell? Who can stay? Who can remain in the body of Christ? And we have seen over the years those who come and those who've gone. And some have gone and no longer have a place in this body because they no longer were looking at their motives. They were no longer examining. Am I upright before you? Are there still secret sins? Are there wrong attitudes? Are there wrong motives? Because if there are, your faith is going to be hindered. It is guaranteed. Now, the key to the purity of heart, or a heart that wants to be pure and motives right, is found in Romans 3. In Romans chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 11 through to 18. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They've altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, that is the state of humanity. That is what God sees. That is what God sees over the world at this present time, this moment, exactly where you sit in your seat. And when we begin to understand what God is saying here, that he sought for one, there's not one. There's not one that is righteous, and there's not one that seeks God. There's not one that is interested. There's not one that is prepared to seek him. When we begin to see in that light, we begin to understand, we begin to then see what our motives are before God. As I've said, motives God is looking at. And he's judging them. He's raising this question, what is our motive? Because we're going to look at areas this morning which I trust may be deliverance with regard to faith. Reaching out and touching God with our faith, that faith that he gives to us, which is a seed, which is a gift. Remember that faith, the gift of faith, just that mustard seed of faith, must be upright, must be pure, must be holy, in which God is to receive. And for that, God will remove those hindrances that affect our faith. And we're dealing this morning with those motives. And we've already looked in Psalm 15 that deals with these motives, that shows you how you can walk upright. And if you deal with these things, then he says that you will never be moved. In other words, you do no evil to your neighbor. You take no reproach, revenge against anyone, and particularly a brother or sister in Christ. And he goes on in that way, doesn't he? That whatever we do it with the right motive toward each other. And in other words, it's done in the love of God. In the love and grace and mercy of God. Whatever we do to each other, whatever we do to our neighbor, we do it because God first did it to me. Because I didn't seek him. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't interested. I was interested in my own life, my own thing, what I want. You see, that's what it says in Romans 3. So, looking at that, let's begin to look at a few characters in the Bible where God has highlighted and revealed that their motives were not clean before God. I know I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to come back to it again. The prophet Balaam. His motives were not clean before God. He had got a gift as a prophet and could prophesy, and Balak knew that. And so he hired him to prophesy curses to Israel. Now, why did Balaam fall for that? Because his motives were not clean before God. The motive was he wanted financial security. He wanted to feel secure by finances. And if you want to feel secure by finances, your motives will not be pure before God. You will not, in fact, be able to walk by faith, trusting God. And that is why maybe some are hindered, maybe in the area of finances, or maybe because we're not breaking through, because my motive still is I want that financial security. And so it's good to go to God because God is going to give me what I want. But the problem is, after all these years, I haven't received it from him. And you won't. And you know why? Because the motive is impure. It is not clean. And it only takes the mercy of God to stop that. Because if you have a gift on you, or you're called to be a teacher, or whatever it is, you will fall victim eventually, just like Balaam did. Because you'll be tempted. How do I know? Because I have been tempted by that. Satan's come along with me and shown that you can make a lot of money out of preaching and teaching if you know the right people and are prepared to move in the right circles and prepared to compromise and so forth. Yes, you can make money out of it. And you know where they make their money? You know exactly how they do it. By pressurizing the people. So, your motives are essential to your faith. How about Jacob and Esau? You say to me, well, surely not. Oh, yes. Jacob collaborated with his mother. And you know the story. And Jacob was her favorite. Esau wasn't. And so they planned, they schemed for the birthright. Now God was working through that, but the motive at the time was impure. And as a result, he had to flee for many years, and their family life was totally disrupted, was split apart. They no longer were in unity as a family because of that impure act that wasn't right before God. God had to judge it And then, after that, he then worked through that and brought about the blessing. You see, we can foul up God's plan because our motives are not right. And that is the point. And so your motives being wrong before God can cause you to go in the permissive will of God for many years until God brings you back into that perfect plan and will that he had for you. We tend to forget that Jacob went out of the permissive, went into the permissive will of God for some years, running, fleeing as a fugitive, because the motives were not right. Deceived, you see. And you know the story. That was based on deception. So I raise another character in the Bible. Judas, who walked with Jesus, one of the disciples. But his motives were not clean before God. And you know the story of Judas? How that Judas betrayed Jesus? And what did he do it for? For money. The love of money again. The feeling of being secure for money. Money does not make you eternally secure. It's only momentary, but it does not make you eternally secure. So again, he was the one that handed over Jesus to be crucified. And what did those impure motives do eventually? It took him out and he hung himself, committed suicide. A tragic story. How about the rebellion of Korah under Moses? Korah got elders together with him. Why should we just have a few priests? Why should Moses be the one? Why should he have the blessing? Why should he go up and be blessed by the presence of God? Shouldn't Israel be priests as well? Sounds feasible, right? Because Korah was after power, gain, responsibility. His motives were not clean before God. And you know the story, how that God told them to stand back and the wrath of God came down and the earth swallowed them up because of impure motives. Korah was not concerned about the glory of God. Was this going to glorify the Lord? Was this going to help and promote the nation of Israel to turn their face toward God? That was not his motive. It was for self-gain, pride, you see. Again, these are hindrances to our faith. How about the first murder recorded in the Bible? Cain, Abel. Again, impure, unholy motives. You know the story of that? Cain and Abel. Abel presented a sacrifice of purity of heart. Cain, his sacrifice was impure. The motive was wrong. The motive was for self-gain. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about, will this be pleasing to him? Is this what God wants? Am I giving my all to the Lord? Is this costing me? No, he wasn't concerned about any of those things. He did it in a religious manner. Well, I've done my bit. I've done my offering to God. That is it. And that's why God hates religion. That's why he will not accept it, because religious people have impure motives. The motives are not clean before God. I have gone to church. I have done my bit for God today. forget it. Forget it. That's it. That is why they can't reach out and touch God by faith. They can't be touched by the promises of God. And that's why when you try and teach about the promises of God, they come against them. They throw them back. Do you know why? Because the motive, the heart is not pure before God. And if the heart is not pure before God, you can't hear from God. You can't touch God. You can't receive from God, you see. That's why I'm saying that it is vital how we approach God when we come together. It's vital how we approach God when we come and worship Him. That we come with those clean hands and a pure heart into His presence. Father, I come here this morning for nothing else but just for You to worship and to thank You and to praise You for what You've done and what You continue to do. That is the motive of my heart. If we can get that right, we get everything else right in this church. And everything will flow together. And the unity and the oneness and so forth. But it's the motive. That's the question. And of course, the children of Israel, when they return out of exile from Babylon, after being some 70 years in captivity, and they come out, and God has to expose the motives. The motive is wrong. The heart is wrong. Do you know why? Because the first thing they began to do was get their own house in order. They weren't concerned about the house of God for worship. The motive was wrong. And so, of course, it brought bondage on them. Well, I want to now hone in on areas that I believe the Holy Spirit has highlighted with regard to wrong motives. I've shown you just some illustrations from the Word of God that reveal these wrong motives. So, you know, you can find that from Genesis right through to Revelation, where these wrong motives, the heart is not pure before God. So looking at these areas, the first one I want to raise is, this might sound an obvious one, but you know it's one you still have to really examine your heart with, and that is you wish to escape hell and judgment. You wish to escape hell and judgment. You can say to me, well, what's wrong with that? After all, who wants to go to hell? Who wants to be judged by God? Fair question. Nothing wrong with that. What is wrong is, what is the motive? Is the motive, I'm going to follow God because I don't want to go to hell? If that is your motive, I'm not sure that you're going to get very far with that one. Now, it is not God's desire that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So we know the Father's heart. The Father's heart is not for any to perish, and certainly God never created hell. Well, of course, hell will be at the end, but a hell, of course, is for Satan and those demons. That's what hell is for. But Satan is going to take with him as many as he can. So what is my motive? That is the question. Well, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want Your judgment upon me. But neither do I want to follow You and to worship You and obey You simply because that is my ticket from hell. If that's how you see your salvation, I think you have failed to fully see the redemptive work that Christ has done for us at Calvary, because it's far bigger than that. It is an important factor, and it's one that has to be stressed and brought out in teaching, but it isn't the motive, the aim. The motive and aim to follow God is Because I choose and desire to. Because I didn't love him first. He first loved me. That's the basis. That's the motive. That's why we should be here. None other than that thing. Because he first loved me. And that's why you see these great hymns. You know, they're full of God's grace, God's love, God's mercy. They're full of it. And you see the purity of the motive of the heart as the writer writes these hymns, these words out. Comes from a grateful heart, a heart rejoicing and praising and thanking God. And yes, I have escaped judgment and hell. But it's a lot more than that. It's about relationship. It's about God restoring us back into that relationship with him. That is the motive and purity of heart. And some see that and some don't. The religious people don't experience that. They don't enter into that one. They can't quite cope with that one, you see. But that's the first thing that we have to really, really know in our hearts. Am I just going along with this because I've escaped hell and judgment? I'm afraid it's a lot more than just that. And the second area with regard to these motives, I've embraced the faith teaching because faith meets all my needs, my wants, my needs. And we have seen some come and some go because that was their motive toward the faith side of the deeper life. And they haven't remained and been faithful and enduring. And that is one of the main reasons why, because they came with the wrong motive for their own needs, for their own belly to be filled. And of course, Jesus exposed that one, didn't he? He said, there are many following who are only coming to have their bellies filled, to have their needs met, but they're not really seeking me with all their heart, soul, mind, and being. Jesus exposed that. Now, of course, Jesus, the mercy and love of God, didn't turn them away. He still met those needs. That is the mercy and grace of God. But the question I raise is, those thousands of people that were following him, were they all eternally saved? Well, only on that day of salvation will we know. But for Jesus to raise that question and expose the motives has to raise a question, a very serious question, whether a lot of these were actually saved or not. And so we have found, haven't we, that there are those because they couldn't get their needs met, so they go away critical, resentful, and it doesn't work. And that's what happens, you see, when motives are not right, when motives are impure before God, it doesn't take long for the sinning of the tongue to start. Exactly what I showed you, what the psalmist said in Psalm 15. They begin to become critical. Hate, resentment, unforgiveness can start to enter into the heart. And I know such people who are like that. Because their motives were not right when they came before God. They came because they saw faith as a means of me getting my needs met. Period. And they're now angry, frustrated, bitter, critical against leadership, against the word, against this move, and so forth. It's sad. It's sad. Because they fail to see that with every promise, there are conditions. Faith is free, but it's not cheap. And for God to work with your faith and my faith, a holy faith, a faith that works by love, is a lifetime, is a work, is a process. But God is faithful. If God has promised, he will stick to his promise, his faithfulness. But the journey for the manifestation can be a journey sometimes that's pretty bumpy and like a roller coaster. But God in his mercy eventually will get us to the manifestation. And that's where you have to settle it. You have to settle with your receiving these promises. Father, whatever this is going to take, and it's probably going to be a journey and a half, Lord, please don't give up on me. Please bring me to the manifestation of this at the end, not for me, but for your glory, that others can see that you are faithful and true to your word. Motive again, isn't it? Or is it what I get out of it at the end? See? Or is it because this is going to be a great witness for the glory of God and for others and for my family who are critical at the moment or whatever it would be? That must be the motive for everything we are believing and pressing in for by faith. Anything less than that, your faith is hindered. And God is trying to get to your faith for that promise that you're still confessing before God, you see? And the third area. I will fellowship or go to that church with that brother or sister because they are anointed, or that church is anointed, and I will get blessed. And I've heard that said. I've heard it said in the past. If you stick with the pastor, you're in for a blessing. That's a fearful thing, because that's not what it's about. Jesus was aware of that. That is why Jesus challenged them. That's why Jesus challenged the disciples. Because God's presence was with him. God's anointing was on him. And are you with me because you're going to get blessed? Or are you with me because of me? That was what Jesus used to challenge, you see. And it's the same with this church. Are we coming solely as our motive? I'm coming here because this church is where I'm going to get blessed. Now that is true. I trust you will. I'm not against blessing, but it comes back to the motive. That's the question. Am I going to this church? Am I coming week after week because this is where I get blessed? Or is it because this is where I meet with Jesus, and this is where Jesus touches my life and changes my life for his glory? This is where my life is touched because God is bringing me into a relationship, a fellowship with him. It's the motive, you see. That is the question. And if our motive is wrong, if we're here for the wrong reasons, your faith is not going to reach out and touch God. You are not going to break through in these areas. I've had to examine myself as I've been looking at this. I've had to ask God to show me where I stand in this. And I'm the one that has to deliver this. So none of us are exempt. But you know, if you're siding in with someone or siding in with that brother or that sister because I know that's where I'm going to get blessed, that's, you know, where it all comes, it's all going to shower down from heaven, forget it. You've missed it. And whatever blessings you get are going to become sour, are going to become corrupt, and they will not glorify the Lord. And after all, why should you move alongside someone so that you can get a blessing? What's wrong with you? Shouldn't God be doing that with you? Each one of us should be anointed. We've received the anointing. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why should we be looking to somebody else? So there it's revealing and exposing idolatry as well. insecurity and all those things. Now, it's not to say that you cannot be blessed by the ministry, because I'm aware that under Old Covenant, wherever, you know, the tabernacle went, which was the presence of God, whoever that went to was blessed. That's why Israel was blessed out of all nations, and other pagan nations knew it. And some of them sided in with Israel, didn't they? Their motives were wrong, because they didn't want to be destroyed, you know? So, you know, this is how you have to see. You could say about, trying to think of her name. They put the fleece out, you know, the red fleece out, her and her family be saved. What was her name?
Rahab.
One could say, was her motives wrong? She just wanted us, her life saved and her family. Well, Rahab is mentioned in the genealogy of Christ. So there must have been something there that was right. There must have been his desire to seek God first above anything else. Because the motives have to be pure and right. As God doesn't receive, God will not receive. The children of Israel perished in the wilderness because their motive was wrong, was not pure, was not right. They came out of Egypt and thought, this is all going to be hunky-dory now. God's answered our prayers. Here we are. We're going to go through a journey and we're off into the promised land. Realizing that God was going to test their motives. And only two were of the right spirit out of all that lot. You know, you can raise the question at times, well, who can be saved? God is so holy. God cannot look on anything impure. I marvel at King David with what he did. And yet God said he has still a pure heart before me. Why? Because when his eyes were open, his confession and motive was pure. I have sinned. I have done this. I received the penalty. You see? Didn't try an excuse. That's why I say, and this surprises a lot of people, Adam could have been saved. Adam could have got it right. But he didn't. He said, it was that woman. The woman. And you are immediately. The motive was completely impure. Sin had already got there. Straight away. You see? Fourthly, areas of wrong motives. Holding back from the Lord will hinder faith. You're holding back maybe for some reason. Holding back in a number of ways. Ananias and Sapphira held back all that they could have given to the Lord because their motives were impure. The heart was not right, was covetous. And so we can find in our giving to God, and I'm not just talking in the finances, but I'm talking about just giving when we come together, that giving out, that river of living water that should be flowing out of us, it's not happening or it's hindered because I am holding back. What am I going to get out of it if I do it? Or it could be the other way around, and of course this is the biggest one, is those that are stepping out, but step out for the wrong motive and the wrong reasons, because they want to take the pride and the glory. And I have met those ones up and down the land. Sadly, there are more of those, that lot, around than you realize. I can tell you how it comes out. Oh, I didn't want to step out today. You know, I came to the meeting. I said, no, Lord, not me. Not me today. No, somebody else. I didn't want to do it, you know. And you can tell all of that is acting. The very fact they're saying it. Why are you saying it? You don't have to say that. If God has blessed, God's touched, you don't have to come out with things like that. That's impure. It's revealing an awful lot. That's not said it couldn't be said, but I have seen it all too often, and praise God, he's opened my eyes to it, that it is not genuine. You actually want me to say something in return. Something like, well, praise the Lord, you did step out in faith, and God's blessed you and honour you. And inside, that's really what I wanted to hear. See? That's really what I wanted to hear. Motives. We've all fallen for it. We all have to be on our guard. No, if I step out for the Lord, or I operate in a gift, I do it because it is for the glory of God. It is in obedience. And that is why sometimes, you know, when Jesus healed or whatever it was, he would disappear. He would go. You know, and after, oh, this, what's happened? Where is he? Where is the one who did that, you know? You will very seldom ever see that happen in meetings. Have you ever been to a meeting where there's been a miracle or somebody's been touched? And then after they're praising the Lord, they're then trying to find the person who was used in which to minister that. Have you ever been to a meeting where that's happened? I'd like to know, because I've never have. And I'm not saying that's to happen every time. But the point I'm saying is, Jesus did it. The early church did it. If miracles were wrought, whatever it was, they would sometimes get away as quick as possible. Why? Because they knew the glory of God's name was going to be robbed otherwise. See? So, it is motive. It is the heart. And I've had to ask myself these questions. You know, the times when you're a preacher, teacher, pastor, you know, and praise God, we there's nothing wrong in thanking God for the word, or praise God for your obedience and so forth and whatever. But we must make sure that the motive is right, is pure. And I'm all for being a gracious people. Yes, you thank people. You thank people when they give or bless, whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that, but the motive has to be right. It has to give glory to God. That is the thing. And maybe you see we're not seeing yet these greater works coming which they're to come, and healings that we're believing for in this assembly, because God is still aware that the motive is not clean, is not right. Therefore it hinders. It hinders the power of God present to heal. You know, I've read that many times, but we had that come up on our Tuesday meeting, and it just was the right time for me just to go from the head to the heart, that even Jesus, God in flesh, had to have the power of God present to heal, which is in the Gospels. And you know, it was like I'd never heard that before, and suddenly all the lights just come on, and yet I've read it, but that was the day and hour to receive it. You know? Well, how much more with us? And that, because God is doing it. God will heal. You'll know when God's presence is there to heal, deliver, cast out demons, because his presence is there doing it. And his presence is there for one purpose, that his name will be glorified. We don't receive anything from that. That is why that great prophet, the greatest prophet, John the Baptist, saw a new message, a new covenant, a new principle in operation. And flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. And the first thing he said, I decrease, that he increases. He saw the principle of the new covenant. That ministry and everything will be built upon that saying, that we get out the way, that the presence of God, his glory, may be manifest and seen. We're the hindrance. But as God has said, as I bring this to a close now, he's faithful if we keep that knee bowed in his presence. And that we confess these things, and that these exposures that come up or in the Word, we bring before God and say, Father, my name and address was on that today, as you well know. But I can bring this before you because I know that you will deal with this. You will remove this because this is all about your glory. It's all about that you can use me. And that's what it's about, because everyone in this church is and must be used by God. No one is more special than any other. No one is greater than any other. The ground is level for everyone at the foot of the cross. But God has got to do it. He's got to remove it. And he will not have impure motives in his presence. He is so holy. Now only God can do this. Only God, maybe sometimes, Father, I don't know whether this motive is pure or impure before you, but I'm asking that you will show me. You may even have to do that. I've had to do that. I don't even know myself. Unless God will open my eyes to see, I can't see otherwise. Maybe you can see impure motives that still operate with me. Well, then pray for me, because I can't see it. And vice versa. So that we may be all free, set free, so that God's power can manifest through this church. Because there are needs. There's some need healing. Some need deliverance still. Touches. And of course, outside in that world. There's a world out there. And I'm just presenting to you how God presents it to me to give to us. So what's impossible with man is possible with God. And God will do it. But I'm going to tell you this, that if your motives are pure and clean and right, I'll tell you what, that world out there will see it. Because all they're fed is corruption, greed, using anyone. So many people use one another out there. I mean, let's bring this down to basic tactics. Do you like being used? Of course you don't. You're human. You know, it's a horrible thing when you're used. There's so many things come out of it. A feeling of betrayal. A feeling of, I thought that person loved me, but they don't. It brings out everything, doesn't it? When you are used. And we've all of us, probably in some way, have been used. And sadly, even your children do it. The children at times can break your heart. But that's where the love of God can come in and can take over. No, we don't like being used. Well, how much more with God? How much more with God? So if you can turn that over and see that with the Lord, God will rectify that. He'll put that right in your life, my life, so that our ministries are upright, standing. As the psalmist said, no guile found in us. Can God do that? I believe he can. I believe he's big enough, all powerful enough. How he's going to do it, I leave that with him. And it will be a miracle. And is a miracle. But God is very concerned about the motive of the heart. Father, thank you this morning. Again, Lord, you have addressed and highlighted an area that only can be done by the Holy Spirit. It's impossible otherwise. And Lord, we don't even know ourselves at times. But again, we desire to be pure in heart. Not because we will escape the wrath of God. Not because it gives us a place in this church, but because your glory can be seen in this world of darkness. That you will be glorified, be exalted, be lifted up. Your standard, everything that you are and always have been, will be seen. That is the reason for a pure heart and a motive and right motives. And all the rest will graciously be given, because, Father, that is the nature of your heart, is to give. Father, the nature of your heart is to bless, to meet those needs, to heal our bodies, to keep us safe, comfort, even in our trials and testings. That is the nature of your heart. But Lord, that is not the motive and the means by which we're here. We're here, Lord, because you first loved us. It wasn't even in us, Lord. It wasn't even in our mind, in our thinking, to follow you and to obey you and to worship you. We were out building our own lives, doing our own thing, Lord. But one day, you decided to open our eyes and said, "That is enough, I'm going to turn you around." And so, Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory. And Father, I thank you that you still bring us together week after week to receive this manna, because in that manna that we receive, Lord, there's healing, deliverance, salvation, wholeness to our body. So bless us, preserve us, and keep us, we ask, Father, until we meet again. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.